Well, Heavenly Father, Lord God, we do thank you for this morning. We thank you, Father, for your presence that is so real in this place. We ask you now, Lord, to be with us in our time remaining. In your precious Son's name we pray. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, you may be seated. Hello, and welcome to our service here at Church of Messiah, and we are so glad that you are here, and I've just got to echo what Father David said. Christina, it is an honor to have you among us. Alan called me and said, we have a parishioner in the hospital. Is there any way that you or one of the priests could go by? Father David and Father Lon have been able to visit with Christina during her time in the hospital, and we're so grateful for the ministry that happens that way. And I was thinking to myself how awesome it was to get a phone call from New York to be able to minister to someone that was in our vicinity that needed, you know, ministry, and how wonderful that is. And then, as Father David said, when you came in today, how awesome for us. I mean, God knew exactly what he was doing. He had the whole situation under control. Here I thought we were doing a good deed for the Archbishop's Church. And God had a blessing for us. How awesome to have you here. And before you leave today, with your permission, when you're ready, I'm going to take a picture on my fancy phone. I'm going to text it to my son and say, we got this. Is that okay? Can we do that a little later, maybe? Okay. Anyway, you know, in this day and age, you can communicate. But God is moving. God is always, always got something for us in the midst of no matter what it is that we're going through. And our scriptures today really just jumped out at me a couple of different ways. I really struggled with which direction to go. I had a couple of conversations with Cindy trying to bounce a few things off of her and say, you know. And so I told her what direction I was going, and she said, that's great. And then the next morning, the Lord changed it, so I told her what he changed. She goes, that's great. Everything's just great. You know, but what God did was, by the time I got done preparing, he did them all. They all came together. I mean, so I just didn't see it at the beginning. I see it now at the end. In our gospel reading today, which we're not going to turn to, because I am going to take my message today out of our New Testament reading, out of Ephesians, putting on the whole armor of God. But in our gospel reading today is one of my favorite scriptures for me personally. It's not what goes into a man that defiles him, but it's what comes out. Because in a society, especially in a Christian society, where legalism can win the day, in a lot of Christian circles, it is very easy to take on legalism, which is the don'ts. Don't do this, don't do that, don't. Those are all outside things, but it still doesn't affect the heart. You can affect your actions without touching your heart. And I think what Jesus was trying to say there, guys, come on, let's get this. It's not what you do. It's who you are. Because if the heart is right, what you do is going to be right. But you can look like you're doing right and your heart not be right and you're but a clanging bell and a clamoring cymbal, because Your heart is not right. So it's not what goes into a man that defiles him. It's what comes out of him. Well, how do you get that from the full armor of God? Well, we're going to, hopefully I'll show you. If you'll turn with me to our reading today, from the New Testament reading, it's Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to start with verse 10. But now I've got to give a little shout out to Father Looker last week for those who were here. Father Looker preached on, I got to tell a funny story too, and Liz is not in here to hear this. So, but Father Looker had the pleasure of being able to preach on wives submit to your husbands last week. And that was real good. And I remember the story he told, I hope y'all do because it bears telling again, that before him and Liz were him and Liz, she was in the hospital and he was doing his duty as the chaplain and making a hospital visit, and she would pretend that she was asleep so she wouldn't have to talk to him. Isn't that what she said? I stand as a witness to that. Because Alan and Liz were friends because they worked in the youth together. Alan would go visit her, and I would go visit her. Okay? One time, I went and visited her, and I walked in there. There was nobody in the room, but obviously somebody had just been there because the chair was set around in the thing. And I go, Liz, are you awake? And she goes, is he gone yet? Oh yes. So he was it was good. It was really good. So anyway, he did a wonderful job, I believe, last week giving us his take on wives submitting to their husbands and really husbands loving your wives as Christ loved the church. That sticks out to us in chapter 5. And it is the underpinning of what goes on in chapter 6. Because if you read the book of Ephesians, Paul, I love Paul, the way Paul wrote. Paul had a starting point, and he had a continuing thought until his closing. When Paul penned his letters, he was sharing his heart. It was what was coming out of him, okay? And what's coming out of him is some really good stuff. Because what he's trying to do is he's trying to perfect the saints. He's trying to mature us. He's trying to help the church grow. He's trying to help the believer grow. He's trying to give his audience the understanding of what a Christian walk is like. Notice that when he got to the meat of what he was writing about, because you know you got the greeting and salutation, you got the meat, and then you got the blessing or the benediction. That's usually how Paul wrote. He always closed with a blessing or, you know, remember to pray for me, I'm praying for you, and all this kind of stuff. One of the things that jumps out at me about Ephesians and the writing of Ephesians is to remember that Paul wrote it from captivity. He was imprisoned. He was jailed. He was on his way to die for the gospel. And yet, what came out of this man was this incredible faith and this incredible hope and this God is never done. Don't give up. Don't lose hope. And here's how you get there. So, we get in where we're going to focus today is in chapter 6 is on putting the whole armor of God on. But in Paul's line of thinking, I would say to you, it's after you've done this other stuff. Because that's the preparation of who you are. It says, husbands, love your wives. Wives, love your husbands. Kids, listen to your parents. honor your father and your mother. It gives you all these instructions. And then our scripture picks up and he says in verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord. All that other stuff was preparation as much as the stuff he's getting ready to tell us. As in ministry, I will tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt, if things are not right between Cindy and I, my ministry is going to suffer. It just happens. The two are one. And even though I'm the one standing in front of you, I'm the one talking to you, she's here. I mean, she's there, but she's here. Because it's a holy mystery what God has done. The two have become one. So I've got to be taken care of before I can go on to the finally. Or else I might find myself in the middle of the finally lacking something. Does it make sense? Okay. All right. So finally, Paul says, now that you've done all this other stuff, or I've instructed you on all this stuff, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Finally, be strong in the person that you are. Finally, boast about this beautiful home that you've created and these wonderful kids that you have and this awesome job that you have. Finally, because you're an elder and you've matured and you've seen a lot of things, be strong in your experience. Oh, no. Finally, be strong in the Lord. Because at the end of the day, it's not about you, it's about Him. Finally, be strong in the Lord and put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the devil's schemes. Finally, take all this stuff that you've learned. Take all this stuff, shore yourself up, put on everything you got, and go out and fight the battle. Put on the full armor of God. It's not your armor. It's God's armor. I don't know about you, but in my life, I am very grateful it's His and not mine, because mine would be chinked up pretty bad by now. It would have some tremendous holes and flaws in it. Because in myself, I can make a terrible mess of stuff. Just ask Cindy. I can mess it up faster than... Right? I can mess it up. We'll leave it there. Trust me, I can mess it up. But put on the full armor of God so that you may take your stand against devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers. It is so hard when you're in the middle of a battle not to assign your struggle with the face that it's coming from or the circumstance that it's coming from. It is so hard. But yet the truth of this scripture is Paul was saying, look, when you fall into these areas of struggle, of trial, of concern, of issues, of great tribulation, remember, it's not flesh and blood. It's not a person. For those of us who are struggling against circumstances or issues, remember, you are not struggling with that person. That is not where the battle is. The battle is in principalities and powers. And as we were reminded already today, Jesus has already triumphed over them. So we already can walk victorious. Because He owns it already. He's got it already. He wants us to walk it out so we can join in His victory. Isn't that, think about the last time you've gotten an argument or the last time somebody has said something that offended you or hurt you Or the last time that somebody did something that you just couldn't believe people would do something like that. The truth of this scripture is it wasn't them. That's not who you... Isn't that hard to really grab a hold of, though, in the middle of something? It is. It is. It's very hard to get a hold of. But we need to put on the whole armor of God to stand against the devil's schemes. And therefore, this is so important, Paul tells them twice. Put on the whole armor of God. And then he tells you why and who your battle's against. And then he goes, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. Well, day of evil, just kind of, I had to do a little looking into that. Because I came from teaching that my memory of this scripture is so when the battle comes, when the forces of hell come against you and they rush your gate and they're getting ready to overwhelm you, when the last days are here, when the day of evil comes. That's the way I heard it. I read it. The day of evil. You know, it's a horrible, terrible day. And then I dug into it a little bit further. And what Paul was saying here was, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, what he really said is when the evil of the day comes. Huh? When the evil of the day comes. And the word for evil was not what I was making it to be, evil. The evil was trials, tribulation, labors, and concerns. Well, I don't know about you, but every day of my life has a little evil in it. So what Paul was trying to prepare us for was not this great final battle. He was trying to prepare us for today and tomorrow and next week. He was trying to prepare us for life. Wow. How do I prepare for life? Well, if that is true, let's look at what he tells us to do. The first thing we do is we put on the belt of truth. The belt of truth buckled around our waist, or in another version, it says, gird your waist with truth. Put on a belt. Okay, it might just be me. I'm pretty simple on this kind of stuff. A belt holds up my britches. There are some young men these days that I think we need to open up a belt ministry and give away free belts. And I know I'm getting older because I hear myself saying stuff that my grandpa used to say when my hair was long. Kids these days. Or when he would listen to my music when I was driving him somewhere. I'll never forget it. You had to know my grandpa to love him. He was about 92 years old at the time. And I was listening to a station that just happened to put on one of my favorite songs by Bill Withers, which is Ain't No Sunshine When She Gone. You know? And I love that song. Grandpa was about 92. I'm driving him somewhere. And we had already been discussing my music, because Grandpa always liked to discuss my music. But you know, Bill Withers, you know, and I know. And right in the middle of all those wonderful I knows, where just Bill Withers is just getting down, he's got the groove going, Grandpa goes, "What the heck does he know?" He was trying to make his point. And trust me, to know my grandpa, you know he did not say heck. But anyway, You know, we look at the younger generation, and for those of you who are younger in here, we look at you guys and we're trying to figure out, Kristen, just what the heck are you doing? I mean, what is that? You know, and I know, you know, tattoos. I don't get, all my boys have got them. I don't get it. Okay, the hairstyles today, but this pant thing really gets me. This lack of belt, this seeing your boxers, I mean, but then I got thinking about it. For those of us who were in the 70s, who lived around the beach that were surfers, do we have any surfers here besides me? Okay. We used to wear baggies. And baggies were baggies. And the lower you wore your baggies, the cooler you were. But that was at the beach. You're expecting to see half-naked people at the beach. I'm not expecting to see a half-naked person walking in the mall. I'm just not. So you got to put on a belt. Why do you put on a belt? Why is the first thing that we put on is a belt? So you don't be embarrassed. If your pants fall down in society, you're going to be embarrassed. Paul's saying, here's the first thing you do. Put on the belt of truth. Hang on to the truth of God. Hang on to the truth of God so you will be buckled up, okay? And one of the advantages is so you don't get embarrassed. If your pants fall down, you're going to be embarrassed. Unless you have designed your wardrobe to be that way, and then maybe you're cool. But here's another practical thing. Here's another practical thing. Okay, in your mind, you all know who. You all know the fad that I'm talking about, so just visualize right now. You see someone walking down the road with their britches halfway down with no pant, no belt on. One hand is always hanging on to make sure they don't fall off. Is it not? How am I going to go into battle this way? I got to hang on to my britches, because if I don't hang on to my britches, they're going to fall down around my ankles, and the next step I take, I'm going to be down, and the enemy is going to have an incredible opportunity to take me out. It's not wise to go into battle with your britches falling down. So, how did I get this out of that? I don't know. But put the belt of truth on, which is the underpinning of everything that you are. The truth of God in your life is going to be able to give you the confidence to put on the rest of the stuff. Can I get an amen? Do you get that? Okay. Very good. I'll move on to the next one. All right. So now I got my britches on. The next thing I'm going to do is put on the breastplate of righteousness. I'm going to cover my heart. It's a breastplate. It's meant to cover the area that I can take a mortal blow, one blow, into the heart. Okay? It's the breastplate of righteousness. It covers up and protects us from the fiery darts, from the enemy jabbing at us, getting us in our heart. But it's made of righteousness. I got my britches on because I know the truth. And the truth is, it's not my righteousness, but it's His. That is what is protecting my heart. Not my goodness, but it's my right standing with God because of who He is, which is my truth. So now I've got that on. The next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to shod my feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I'm going to put on my shoes. I am going to put on the shoes. How am I doing so far, Cameron? Am I doing all right? Okay. Cameron's kind of keeping an eye on me today. I appreciate that. I'm going to put on my shoes that are the gospel of peace. The preparation of the gospel of peace. I'd be really, I'd be really hard-pressed nowadays. I used to go barefoot all the time when I was growing up. But my feet are very tender now. And if I go walking out on asphalt, I feel it. I get a little icky when I walk on wet grass now. I don't know. I got to put on flip-flops or something. But our feet need to be prepared. And our feet are prepared with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That means I am ready to tell the good news wherever my foot steps. The good news of what? The good news of peace, that because of Jesus Christ, there is now peace between God and man. That's my truth. You see, that's the truth that I've got built it on. That's the righteousness that I have going for me over here. And now I'm putting on my walking shoes, because everywhere this foot goes, I'm going to share the good news of Jesus. Ooh, I like that one. Come on. That's a good one. All right, now I got my walking shoes on, and now I'm going to take up my shield of faith. My shield of faith, because no matter what the day throws at me, I serve a God who's greater. That's my faith. What's yours? That's my shield. My shield is the faith that I have in the good news that I have been made right with God because of the truth of who Jesus is. They all keep working together, don't they? I've got my shield of faith, and then the last item that I need I got two more. Then I have the helmet of salvation. Well, this one I really like, because besides your heart, your head is your next most valuable asset in battle that you want to protect. Because you can take a good blow to the head and cause severe brain damage and be done. Plus, it hurts. And plus, you won't be able to think about what your next move is if your head is messed with. So you're going to put on a helmet to protect your head. But this helmet is made with our salvation. Well, I got thinking about that, and I heard this taught a lot of times. In fact, Darla was going to share with me her notes from children's church last week so I could have little illustrations and stuff, but I declined. I appreciated the opportunity, but I'm sure they had a nice little helmet showing the soldier, and the helmet is on, and it's the helmet of salvation. But I saw it a different way this time for some reason. Our helmet of salvation, it's our head. Our salvation is Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church. The helmet of salvation means salvation is our helmet. Our head is protected because our head is Jesus. So, wow. The helmet of salvation is, it's no longer our head, He's the head. And then, I got to take up one more thing. I got to take